and welcome back to the What the Fork Sunderland preview show. As has been the case for some weeks, Sunderland do head into the weekend with a little other than pride to play for. But after an objectively funny and, you know, morale-boosting win at West Brom, we're all looking forward to the visit of Millwall in the weekend for quite a few weeks since we've had that feeling. And I think, you know, Millwall not quite safe yet, but I think they could pretty much secure safety with points this weekend. So we've roped in Alex from that Millwall pod to give us a lowdown on the season so far. But first and foremost, mate, same old question. How are you doing? Are you all right?
I'm good, thank you, buddy. Yourself?
Yeah, I think I was just saying to you off air, preview shows are getting more and more difficult to do, but we plough on. We had a very good guest last week, so no pressure. But you might need to save it this week because I sound incredibly apathetic, as I have done for a while. But we did win at the weekend, so, you know, I'm feeling slightly better. The good thing with Millwall is there's tons to get into, as there would be if it was a Sunderland preview show. But we'll start with the obvious stuff. You beat Cardiff 3-1 at the weekend at the Den. How was the performance? How was the result?
Yeah, no, look, I think the last two against Leicester and against Cardiff have been really good performances. I think against Leicester we played really, really well. And then to back that up with that win over Cardiff was really important. You know, we've not had a great season. Done very well at home since Harris has come back. Has managed to get that bit of unity between the stands and the pitch, which has massively helped. You know, it's got us to within, you know, touching distance of safety now. I think a point at the weekend should be enough. Could mathematically be enough with all the permutations and everything, because that's what this stage of the season is, isn't it? You know, you look at all the different permutations and everything like that, and you think, ah, right, okay, this permutation can mean this, and this person wins by 6 goals, and what that means, and all that sort of stuff. No, look, so the performance was good. It's got us in a positive mode now. 3 games to go. But yeah, I think we're a bit like Sunderland, where as soon as that safety mark gets here, I think we'll be ready for the end of the campaign. It's not been the one that many thought it would be for us this year.
Wildly different to last year. Talking about permutations, sorry to bring it up, but I mean, last year we were looking at each other's results, yeah. Where this year it's probably, I suppose it is what it is in many ways, but you do have that slight lull of relegation potentially still hanging on for people unaware. You're 6 points clear, 3 games to go. It's incredibly unlikely. You beat Leicester, that's 2 wins and 2. So 6 points clear relegation. But I think Millwall fans, a bit like Sunderland fans, because of things that can happen, such as last season, we can often be pessimistic. But how safe do you feel going into the weekend?
It feels, look, having got to 50 points, you know, that's often the mark, isn't it, that teams get to acquire safety. At 50 points, you'd be unlucky to go down with 50 points. I think Peterborough hold the record, funny enough. They went down with 54 points one season, which is absolutely astounding to go down with that many. But I don't think anyone's gone down with more than 48 since Blackburn got relegated. I think it was under Tony Mowbray, funny enough, when they got relegated. And I don't think the points total has been as high as that since then. But I look at the goal difference as well, and I think our goal difference gives us an extra point. You know, I'm not sure if Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield are going to get to 50 points or even get over 50 points to be able to draw us back in. So, no, it's looking rosy enough that we'll have an eighth consecutive season in the Championship, which would be really, really good. So, yeah, I think if we can get the point, I'll be happy. It's not going to be a classic game, is it? Let's be honest. Away from home, we're not great. You know, we're quite often, I think, you're happy to not lose when you go away. And I think that's really sort of where we are at the moment. We won't take too many risks because as soon as that safety mark is reached, then, of course, you can take a few more risks and play with a bit more freedom. But no, I'm feeling fairly confident that we'll be in the Championship next season.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if you weren't, to be completely honest. But I think we're probably at that point of the season as well where, you know, as a Sunderland fan, as a Millwall fan, as a fan of whichever Championship club or Premier League club, whatever it may be, you start like assess the season and kind of forget about what happens at the weekend and, you know, kind of just looking forward to what the result might be. You sort of start assessing stuff. And much like Sunderland, you've had a weird season when it comes to managers. You started the campaign with Gary Rowett. We talked about that in depth and it was quite weird. You were saying that, you know, inside the club, it didn't surprise anyone that he'd went. And it kind of felt a little bit like that with Tony Mowbray as well, when the outside world was sort of shocked. And then Joe Edwards comes in, which is, I'm not going to make anyone feel bad about themselves and say that was very similar to Michael Beale, because they're very different people. One's very like, one's likable-ish, I guess, and one to me really isn't. But it was a similar kind of appointment, the head coach idea, bringing someone in that, you know, should hopefully revolutionise and refresh stuff. But like we spoke before he came in and you were like, it's too early in the day for me to really decide what it is that we've got here. Looking at his record, he had 19 games, so he lasted 7 games longer than Beale. But he had 4 wins, which was only 1 win more than Michael Beale, which probably sums up why he left. But you'll know better than me. Why was Joe Edwards such a bad fit? Because he didn't seem to leave with any animosity. It was just a case of, yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, no, it was a real shame for Joe, actually. You know, really, really nice guy, really, really easy to deal with, you know, from our point of view. You know, he never shied away in terms of answering questions and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I think it just didn't work, you know. And at times you see clubs take a risk. And look, I don't think the club can have regrets about doing it, because at the end of the day, they wanted to move in a different direction. And unfortunately, it just didn't work. I think people would say, had he been given a summer, had he had the pre-season, maybe that Gary had, then it could have been different and he could have had the players he wanted in to play his style of football, which was different to Gary's. But it was a team set up to play Gary's way. And unfortunately, that didn't work for him. And I don't know whether there was a little bit of potentially, look, we can see this isn't going to work, that type of thing. You know, I remember watching, you know, the 4-0 defeat to Ipswich was a real, I think that was a mood changer within the club. I think that, you know, that game rung some big alarm bells. You know, we were 3-0 down at half time and we just looked so soft, so passive, very, very easy to play and score against. It was after the game after that was Sheffield Wednesday. It was a huge game in, you know, in terms of the battle at the bottom. I think Sheffield Wednesday won twice away all season, something like that, or had scored 7 away goals, something stupid like that. And they came in and they just, you know, they were so comfortable. You know, we went 2-0 down. And even at halftime, you know, the mood at halftime, the fans had turned, the ground had moved. And I don't think there was such animosity towards Joe in any way. You know, I don't think he, you know, there was no form of anger towards him as much. I think it was more the players that the anger was vented at. It's a real shame for Joe, but he'd done the full circle, because his first game in charge was a 4-0 win at Sheffield Wednesday, and then his final game in charge was also against Sheffield Wednesday. So, no, I think after that, we all were a bit resigned to the fact he's going to go after that, and ultimately he did. And yeah, look, it was a real shame, because it was an appointment with a view to things being, you know, a big project, and sadly that didn't quite go to plan. Had it been an appointment in the summer, which many thought maybe Gary should have gone the previous summer after the Blackburn defeat, you know, at that point we should have said, right, okay, thank you very much, you've done an amazing job, but it's time now to move on. And that didn't happen. And I think ultimately, that was probably where Millwall's season has gone wrong in that fact. I think it was evident towards the end that Gary was ready to move on, as he did. And then the big project under Joe probably should have started back in the summer. Who knows? It's so hard to say. But yeah, I think there was a little bit of wanting to play this style, but just not having the players to do it, I think was the was sort of the thing really that came out of that. And I felt for Joe, because you could see what he wanted to do. He had the willingness to do it, and I think he just needed the group or the players he wanted to play that way, rather than adopting a team from another manager who played a complete different way.
It's interesting the route that Millwall ended up going down, but then at the same time may seem obvious. I think from the outside looking in, you could sort of see that this Edwards appointment wasn't working. You can see with the results, 4-19 is obviously not good enough, and anything worse than that, if you hadn't had the two wins and the few wins you've had under Neil Harris, you would have been right in it. So you think, who am I going to appoint? Who am I going to bring in? Now, Neil Harris went from, to my knowledge, Millwall to Gillingham. Did all right at Gillingham, not amazing. And Cardiff in between that as well, sorry. And then eventually he's come back to Millwall. He hasn't like gone and flourished and then became available and come back. But he's very much a person that's synonymous with Millwall as a player, and he did really well as a manager. But they say never go back. Why do you think Millwall did? And, in the first, I think his first 10 matches he's had now, why is it that Neil Harris and Millwall seem to go together so well?
I think if you look at Harris himself, he's a club legend, isn't he? I think what the club needed was someone to come in and unite. They had to unite the fan base and the players again. There's a massive division had formed. Even at half time in that Sheffield Wednesday game, the reaction from the fans towards the players was getting toxic. And it needed someone to come in who knew the club, and who could come in straight away and sort of, lay down the law type thing and say, this is what's going to happen. This is how we're going to do it. And look, to be fair to Neil Harris, his style of football is no nonsense style of football, isn't it? Really, it's hard to beat. It's make the most of the opportunities you get. I was at that game against Southampton, his first game in charge. And in terms of with the ball, Saints, good God, I think they must have had about 80% possession, but they did nothing with it. This is the thing. What a Neil Harris team will happily do is concede the ball, because they'll stay compact. Two banks of four, you'll be very, very compact. You're very hard to break down and very hard to beat. And that's what we've been since he's come in. In terms of why, I think why they went there is, I think the pool of candidates would have been small that they could have gone to, because, at this stage of the season, you're needing, it's either that or you're looking at someone like Neil Warnock. Warnock, of course, wasn't available. He was at Aberdeen at the time. But Harris would never, I don't think he'd ever say no to Millwall. He was at Cambridge, because he started the season at Gillingham.
That's right. He went to Cambridge and did all right, didn't he?
Yeah.
For a little bit. That's right, of course.
Yeah, he left Gillingham, went to Cambridge. I don't think their fans were too pleased that he left. He's got to be the first manager to manage in all three EFL divisions within the same season. I don't think that's ever been done before. I might be wrong, but not
that's a stat. That's a stat if it is the first one.
Not to my knowledge. Yeah, I can't think of another manager that's managed in all three divisions with three different clubs in the same season. He's done it in a great order, though, hasn't he? He's gone from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, from the bottom to the top, sorry. In a short space of time. But no, look, he's he's coming, he's united the club, he's someone who would get an answer out of the fan base, you know, and he can manage to get the players to work together. He knew a lot of the players as well, because a lot of the players he brought to the club. So a lot of those players were still there, you know, the likes of Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper, Danny McNamara, Ryan Leonard, George Saville, Tom Bradshaw. They're all players that played under him before. So they know the club. They know, he knows them. He trusts them. And to be fair, they've answered. You know, they've answered the call. They've done what they've had to do. And they've got there. And, you know, within touching distance of safety now. And I think what it does for him as well, for Neil Harris, is it further strengthens his legend at the club as well. And look, if he was to walk away at the end of the season, his reputation would be intact and everything like that. And it, you know, he probably would have grown his legend even further, you know. So I think it was the perfect person to go to at that time.
When it comes to the manager that comes in next, it could quite easily be him. He could quite easily end up staying. Is that the general feeling Millwall fans have? Or do they want kind of, not a fresh approach, because maybe that sounds disrespectful to what he's done, but sometimes a manager can come in and really steady the ship. I think we had it with Dick Advocaat came in for us and kept us up and steadied the ship. And then we all kind of begged him to come back. And look, it was horrendous. Like, it just didn't work because he wasn't the right man on a permanent basis, whether we wanted that or not. And there may be a case of that Neil Harris. But do the fans feel that, you know what, actually, this is a good marriage. It works together. Like, let's plow on with him. Or would you like to see potentially something fresh?
I think it's a hard one because you can't argue with his... His record at home is fabulous. You know, 5 games, 1-4, drawn 1. You know, he's got a fantastic record at home. Fans would say is that potentially tactically it's not going to be the greatest football you're going to see. But if it gets you results, at the end of the day, football's a results-based business. Personally, he came in with a brief to keep the club up. And if he does that, it's very hard to argue that he shouldn't be given the chance to have next season. Look, his contract runs till the end of next season. If that's the plan, that he goes on and stays till the end of next season, it'd be interesting to know from the club's point of view, I think. And I think maybe there should be some form of communication come the end of the season, whether... You know, he's going to stay on, which I personally don't think that'd be a bad thing. Look, he's earned the right, put it this way, he's earned the chance to do that. And if he's given that chance, which I think the club would keep him personally. I think it would be his decision if he didn't stay on. I think it'd be down to him personally, because the club were very... reluctant to see him go first time round. You know, they didn't want him to leave. He decided that himself, that it was time for him to leave first time round. I think he would fancy the chance to carry on for at least a year. Look, he's got a year contract to run. I personally be interested to see what he does in the transfer window and how he shapes the team going forward. It would be very, very interesting to see. I'm not sure whether there'd be much difference in the style of play that we see now. But you think back to that first season that we came up, you know, we come very close to the playoffs that year. So, no, look, I'd be interested to see. I think most fans would be under the realisation that, look, while... It's incredibly frustrating sometimes watching performances like we saw at Huddersfield and Rotherham where perhaps we should have won the games, but to lose the games in the way we lost them was really, really frustrating, you know, and that's the hard bit You see your team think, oh, right, okay, we're going to go to Rotherham, you know, but absolutely battered Rotherham for 80 minutes. You know, they have two shots and they score. You know, incredibly frustrating when that happens. And it always seems worse when you lose to Rotherham because I think they'd won once since, I think they, like, the last time they'd won a game was Boxing Day or something. I think they'd lost 11 out of 12 or something stupid like that. But there's a common realization, the Millwall way, is that you lose to the teams at the bottom and you beat the teams at the top. So, no, look, I personally think it would be a bad idea for him to stay on. If he wanted to stay on, then he should be given the chance because he's earned the right.
When we look at the season as a whole, I think, again, I don't know anywhere near enough about Millwall as you will and vice versa. But looking at Millwall, it just felt like the entire season up until Neil Harris came in, you had the hangover from like that disastrous final day of the season. I said before that you can sometimes at this point in the season look back and assess what the season has been. We're not quite at the end yet, so maybe you don't want to assess it just now. I know some people won't want to, but when it gets to the summer, how do you think Millwall fans will look back on the season that has been?
It's been very challenging. I think that you go back to really right at the start of it, you know, with the chairman dying back in the summer, you know, the tragic accident, and I think that set the tone for the season. You know, it just never got going. You know, we had the opening day win, which was, you know, a point where people think, right, okay, let's put what's happened in the summer behind us and try and move forward now. But no, look, obviously it was a big summer for the football club with it changing in terms of John Sun took over to lead the club. And obviously he's going to do things a little bit different as every owner is. You know, I think Gary said that when he left. He said, look, the club had changed. You know, he was appointed by John, of course. He wasn't appointed by Jimmy. So that's what made it a little bit different, I suppose, for him. But it sort of felt like certainty with the football club come the summer. It did feel uncertain with what had happened with John and what was going to happen going forward. It's always going to be a slight concern because John had been there for so long. He'd been the stability, you know, he'd been there since, I think it's 2007. So it's a long time to own a football club. You know, he was absolutely adored by the fans, and when you lose someone like that, you lose such a big character and someone who's just left that club and led that club so well for so long. And there was, I think, it that disaster, and then the summer was always going to be difficult after that. And I think we didn't start very well. You know, I know we won on the opening day, but then, you know, we lost to Bristol City. We got absolutely tanked by Rotherham, not Rotherham, Reading 4-0 in the League Cup. You know, we've had a really poor home record this year as well, which is really unlike Millwall. You know, I think we lost 10 at home this season alone, or nine. I mean, it's nine or 10 at home, which is actually one more or one less than the last two seasons combined. So, you know, we've had a really poor campaign at home. And it's just been one of those that I think anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. But if we end it still in the championship, then we can say, do you know what? Let's put it behind us and let's move on. Let's try and consolidate next season or try and push on. It's hard to know, but I think what fans will say is once the final whistle goes at Swansea in a couple of weeks' time, they'll say we're rather happy about that.
They can move on, I think. It's been a really weird season for Sunderland, and it's odd. Like last season, it was a really nice question to ask people of, like, what have you made of Sunderland? Because it was all the platitudes and, oh, you play so nicely, and it's all the wonderful things that you want to hear as a fan. And this season, I've got to ask the same question. I'm kind of half dreading it, I'm half interested. I know from the outside looking in what Sunderland can look like when Sunderland do Sunderland, which has been very much this season from January onwards. From the outside looking in, what have you made of it first and foremost? And I think I wanted to ask that question mainly because you maybe had a better insight than most opposition fans as to maybe why Tony Mowbray went, because his final game was against Millwall. And I remember coming on the review show with this, and I remember, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, saying, I don't know if he's hit his ceiling. Maybe we need to move on and change him for like a European manager that suits the what the model of the club was. In hindsight, the guy was getting a really good performance out of players that evidently weren't as good as they were showing in terms of league position, I think, and then the appointment of Michael Beale and X, Y, and Z. But you sort of seen maybe why the hierarchy at Sunderland made the decision they did, or the right at the latter end of it, and then did what they did. What have you made of the Sunderland season just as a whole from the outside looking in? And I'm aware, obviously, you won't know all the ins and outs, but just from what you've seen.
See, I was quite surprised. I thought they'd kick on, you know, from last season. You know, I know, I think last season was probably a bit of an overachievement, you know, to get in the playoffs on the last day, thanks to us mucking it up. You know, we gave them a helping hand. And I think they were victims of their own success last season, you know, to do so well. And for Tony Mowbray, you know, I think Tony Mowbray's a very good manager, you know, at this level, you know, he's a very good manager. And of course, I do wish him well as well. Obviously, he's taken a leave of absence now, hasn't he, at Birmingham. I do hope he's okay. You know, we do wish him all the best. But yeah, I was there for, I think we were his last game in charge.
Yeah, it was his last game. He's very, very last game. Yeah.
It was it sort of a bit of an extraordinary press conference where, you know, because he was asked about playing the younger players or something like that, and saying, you know, they're being forced to play these players and they're not quite ready, or they're not good enough to play at this level. And it was interesting. I was surprised that, because he signed up to that when he took on the job, which, you know, I can, you know, you can understand, you think you can do it at the time, and X, Y, Z doesn't quite go to plan. And then, yeah, I was surprised with the Michael Beale appointment. You know, I always thought that was doomed. You know,
especially, I think you were the first one to message me when that happened. You were like, yeah, what you done there? I was like, I don't know, mate.
I was quite surprised when that one came in. It just never worked, did it? You know, the fans never took to him. Yeah, I think his first game, was it a 3-0 defeat as well at home?
Yeah, Coventry.
Coventry or someone like that.
Yeah.
You know, that you can't go into Sunderland and lose your first game 3-0 at home. You cannot do that. You know, that's like going into Millwall and losing your first game at home. It just doesn't work. You can't do that. And I don't think they played particularly well against Newcastle either, did they, in the in the FA Cup game.
I forget that game. I can't remember. It didn't happen.
I mean, it's just, I mean, and then, of course, the whole weird thing about whatever went on in the hospitality areas or something. They put Newcastle colours in and all that sort of stuff. I just thought it was it's another club that has had a very strange season. Some odd decisions in the boardroom have just highlighted, I think, it's a season where they've gone backwards, if you like.
Out of curiosity, when you look at Sunderland, because one thing I feel, and a lot of fans feel, does it feel like our going backwards? Does it look from the outside in that it's all self-inflicted?
That's a difficult question, isn't it? I mean, you're always going to go backwards if you didn't get in the playoffs again. It was always going to be a backwards step, wasn't it? But I'm not sure. I think it had been interesting had Mowbray stayed on.
Yeah.
That had been interesting. Had he stayed on for the rest of the season, it had been a lot interesting. But I was very surprised when Beale left that they didn't appoint a permanent manager. That surprised me, because at that point, I'm sure I'm right in saying they weren't out of playoff contention.
Not
at that
completely.
point.
No.
So I was surprised that they didn't appoint a full-time manager. And look, I can understand now, maybe they've looked and they've worked out who it is they're going to appoint, and if that's the case, great. But it would be a wasted time if they haven't done that. And I think next season will be the when you can answer that question fully, whether it's been a self-inflicted problem or not, because if they don't get the managerial appointment right, then yeah, it would be a massively self-inflicted problem because they've had so long to choose who they want that manager to be. And obviously, look, the Beal appointment was a disaster. And from that point, I do think, I mean, they went from possibly having Will Still, was it? No, not Will Still.
Yeah, with Will Still, yeah.
It was, wasn't it? Possibly from him and
Yes.
ended up with Michael Beale. It just, there was a massive deflation around the club, wasn't there? And
Yeah.
I do think that was a bit of a self-destruct appointment, which, I was surprised because it didn't work out for him at Rangers.
No.
Fair credit, he was doing a decent job at QPR and stuff like that before he left. But yeah, I just don't know. I think the summer's very key for Sunderland. If they get the appointment right, then there's a possibility to say, look, all right, we took our time, we had a bit of a backstep season, but now we're going to kick on. And that will be next season will be when you can answer that question fully.
Such a huge if, isn't it? I can't remember if I got my. No, I didn't get my prediction right last week. I didn't. I actually was wrong in the good sense. I said nil nil, but I'm going to go nil nil again. I think it'll be the shittest game of football ever, where we'll just be like happy to just like we've got nothing to play for. We've had four clean sheets, five clean sheets, and six, so it makes sense we wouldn't concede. And you're happy to take the result, a nil
Yeah, I
nil.
have to say I'd have gone a ball draw. If I'm gonna guess, I'm gonna guess at a nil-nil as well. Look, I mean, there's not a lot in it. We don't need to, it's strange to say we don't need to go there and win. So you're not gonna take undue risks, So no, I'm probably gonna go with you on a nil-nil draw because I don't see much happening, I've got to be honest. It won't be one that I'll be watching, that I'll be racing to watch on the highlight show, I don't think, because yeah, I don't see much happening in it, I've got to be honest.
No, I'm in America, so I'm gonna not avoid it completely, but I'm not that sad I'm missing it because it means absolutely diddly squat. But Alex, I will see you next season. I'm pretty certain of that. But thanks for coming on
Yeah,
as
I'm
always, mate.
hoping so. I'd say so now. I think we've done enough to make sure we're back next season.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Thanks for popping on, mate. Appreciate it.
No problem, mate.